I know there's a lot of fans out there wondering if you should even be the head coach at this point, and they want to change during the bye week at
top.
Are
you asking a question, or are you telling me what
would you tell the fans? What would you tell the fans that think that?
Well, I mean, A, I understand. I mean, I get it. If I was a fan, I'd be mad at me too. You know, I'd be frustrated as hell with me. But here's what I'll say. As long as I'm the head coach at Arkansas, I'm going to fight my butt off to get the guys out there. And how long that is, that's not – it is partly up to me because of what we put on the field. But that's not my call. And if I'm worried about that all the time, I won't be able to do as good a job as I possibly can. But I will say this. If I was the fans, I'd be mad at me too. Hell, I'm mad at me, to be perfectly honest.
The old jukebox is unplugged. Welcome to SEC Hangover. We have got a loaded show, and a fallen soldier, Sam, one of my favorites, is no longer with SEC football. Got fired the other day, and I tell you what, a little doom and gloom, but a little spark in that Arkansas fan base, because now we got a coaching search, and I'm going to tell you who to look out for and who to give up on, because there's some wild names floating around out there. That and much, much more on this episode of SEC Hangover. Come on in, come on in. The water's fine. As the cousins pile in, I want to remind the listeners we are brought to you by MyBookie. And right now, if you use promo code SCC, you are going to get a bet that is safe. What does that mean? That means if you place a bet and you use promo code SCC, you are going to get a risk-free bet up to $500. So if you lose, you get your money back. If you win, you keep the money. We're also brought to you by Tennessee Legend. Tennessee Legend Distillery going to be used a lot this weekend over at Arkansas as they search for a new coach. We're going to have them at the airport plane tracking before you know it. But if you get over here to Tennessee Legend, they got two Sevierville locations, one in Nashville. Be sure to let them know the cousin sent you. And if you're in there, get a picture, snap a picture, send it to me. You can do that on X. You can also send it to us at Shane or that SEC podcast at gmail.com. Jeez. And I'll make sure that you're Tennessee Legend. Struggling this morning, Monday, man, because we had such a great weekend of college football. Absolutely loved that second game slate, man. It was almost too much. You know, I wish they would have broke it up. We should have had one of those games on Thursday, one of those games on Friday, just so that we could appreciate every single one of them. It was absolutely loaded. But the big news that came out of Fayetteville, obviously Sam Pittman is no longer employed, no longer a coach there at Arkansas. And, you know, we're going to remember the good times with Sam, but I think we need to give it a little space right now. But that does leave a job open. So who will be the coach for Arkansas? Let's go ahead and roll some names out, right? Nick Saban's not coming to Arkansas. I've seen him on a lot of short lists, and they'd love to have the legend to come over there and resurrect this program. But, ladies and gentlemen, it is not happening. I don't think Nick is ever going to coach again. If he does, it won't be for Arkansas. It won't be Deion Sanders either. I know he's a fun name that floats around every time there's a job opening, but let's be honest. Arkansas had a shot for old Deion, and they missed out on it, and they can't get that lightning in the bottle. Neither will they get the groomers. Now, don't get me wrong. This one, I hope I'm wrong on. I would love nothing more than to see John Gruden get back into coaching, but realistically, I just don't see it happening. But, man, he would be an awesome fit, and he's a fun talk. And this is a guy, you know, I was talking to Mike yesterday about names on this list, and, you know, what is the added benefit to letting a coach go early in the season? Well, I don't necessarily think it's going to be beneficial for coaches that have jobs, which we're going to get to here in a second. But, you know, guys that don't, John Gruden up there at Barstool looking for, I mean, he was down in Georgia not too long ago saying he wants another shot. He'd love a shot at Kirby Smart. And I tell you what, he's going to get it because this new SEC, you get Georgia every other year. So that'd be a fun one. I just don't see it happening. I don't see Dabo coming there either, as much as I think Clemson fans would like to move on. You know, I don't think Dabo's leaving Clemson anytime soon. And if Dabo does leave, I believe there's a handful of jobs that he'd be interested in. And Arkansas will not be one of those. Neither will Gus Malzahn. To be honest with you, I don't know if Gus has got any more in the tank. I mean, he's doing well with Florida State as the OC there. But honestly, I think it's probably best Gus does not make it back over here to the SEC. And this is the one that I may be wrong on, Big Bobby. And this is why Arkansas fans aren't too upset, because the keys have been left to Bobby Petrino. And Bobby has an opportunity. I mean, to get that head coaching job, how many times, and Mike, I mean, he didn't want to hear this, but how many times do you give a job to an intern? He catches fire, fan base gets pumped up, they just give it to the new offensive coordinator here, and it's kind of funny. I mean, it is absolutely wild that this man is back in the seat, back in the saddle. This is a guy that honestly, I mean, there should be a 30 for 30. There should be a docuseries, a movie, probably not Disney, but there should be a movie on how Bobby made it back. But how does Bobby keep his job? Winning football games. I mean, this is an interesting time. Arkansas is going into their bye week, but they've got Tennessee, A&M, Auburn, Mississippi State, LSU, Texas, and Mizzou. They're sitting there at 2-3. I'm sorry. And how does Bobby keep this job? Winning football games. Beat a Tennessee again. Beat a Texas A&M. Beat an Auburn. I really do think in the back half of this schedule, this is the most interesting part. LSU, Texas, Mizzou. You win 2 out of 3 of those, there may be a shot. Old Bobby P's coming back. Come on now. Before we get going, let's see. The cousins are filing in here. I want to give a shout-out to Cousin JR, the legend, has sent and gifted a membership. This one's going to go to Pharrell Lebinator. Big Mississippi State fan. Come on, cuz. Welcome to the family. Courtesy of the legend, Cousin JR. Now, realistic list, right? This one here is one of the first ones that came to mind. North Texas, Eric Morris. You like offense? You like recruiting? I mean, this guy's right there in the state of Texas. He's taken a program that's been struggling to somewhere. Eric Morris could be that name. Jeff Traylor, Arkansas ties. Come on. Is this your guy? He's taken UTSA, a team nobody talked about several years ago, to 2 conference titles. Ryan Silverfield, this is one that just beat you, right? This is one after the game. I saw comments, hey, let's just swap coaches. Right there in Memphis, not too far. I mean, he's recruiting right where Arkansas is right now. John Sumrall, this is another name that's on a lot of short lists. John's coming to the SEC. Now, is it Arkansas? I'm not sure, but you like defense? You like a tough football team? That's what you're going to get with Tulane's coach here. But I think these next 2 names are the ones that I see floating around the most. Now, this first one, probably most realistic. The second one, deep down inside, is the one I hope it is. Rhett Lashley, backup quarterback, Arkansas. There's the ties. Also took an SMU team to the, I mean, this is ACC Coach of the Year last year. This is a guy that, you know, basically joins a conference and dominates. You know what I'm saying? Now, he's not having as much success this season, but you like offense, you like the Arkansas ties, you like the recruiting pedigree. And little birdie says Jerry Jones is already involved with this situation. And I'm not saying it's a done deal, but if I were a gambling man, I would say this is probably your next coach. But this is who it should be right here. Alex Golish, this guy, I'm telling you, would be – this is what Arkansas wants. Arkansas wants explosive offense. They want a coach that talks shit. I mean, listen, this is after one of the games. This is one of my favorite comments from Golish.
We just went and whooped that ass, didn't we? You did.
Wouldn't you want that? Wouldn't you want that on your sideline? Somebody that has taken a South Florida team from nowhere, from rags to riches, and has done less or more with less, you know? And I feel like if you give them the Arkansas resources, Alex Golish would be a hell of a hire. I think it's going to be Rhett, but man, I mean, hell, his wife's from Arkansas, flies back once a month. You know, she's still working and stuff. So, maybe the wife says, I want to go home. You never know. So those are my two names on the short list for next coach for Arkansas. Am I right? Am I wrong? I don't know. We're going to find out soon. Sooner than later. And one of the things I love about Coach Search is just the constant groomers. You know, we'll be keeping an eye out for it. Be sure to have your notifications on, because when they do hire a coach, we will be the first one to let you know. But let's get into some action, man. Boy, did we have some games this weekend. Alabama, Georgia, we did the watch party for this one. Oh, is the dynasty dead? Is Kirby Smart on his way out? Is he on the short list of coaches losing a job soon? No, he's not. This was a really, really good football game. Two really dominant football teams. Alabama's back, baby. Roll Tide is back. When this guy scored touchdowns, come on, big boy running. You know things are going well there in Tuscaloosa. This was an exciting football game. And honestly, I talked to Mike about this. I said, you know what? These two teams play again. I don't know who wins. If these two teams find a way to make it to an SEC championship, it's a push 'em. It's a pick 'em for me. These two teams are playing, I'm trying to decide, either really good football or really bad football, because be honest with you, Georgia play calling, I mean, under fire, and rightfully so. I think nobody's a huge fan down there in Athens of Mike Bobo, but there was some questionable calls, and I have seen more bubble screens and throws to the wideouts on the sidelines more than I should have. I mean, this guy had more receiving yards than some of yours, and you've guys got a loaded wide receiver room. So it kind of blew my mind. Georgia's got plenty of, I mean, they got plenty of time to bounce back, right? Kentucky, this we're going to talk about that one later this week, but Kentucky game, that should get you back right. Auburn's not playing well. Ole Miss, big game now all of a sudden. I feel like Georgia is one of those teams that, yeah, they got their loss, but I believe we're at that point. We're at that point where an SEC champion is not going undefeated. We're at that point where 2, 3, 4 SEC teams will be representing the college football playoffs with potentially 2 to 3 losses. You know, that's the problem with parity in this conference. And unlike a Big Ten, unlike an ACC, we're not top heavy anymore. We're going to get to some of these SEC teams here in a minute that honestly surprised the hell out of me. Alabama's surprising the hell out of me. To watch what I saw week one to what I saw this Saturday, damn, you know, we gave shit for Kalen DeBoer. I wanted to fire his ass. I was there. I was first in line. Kalen's got to go. But the progress that we saw from week one to two, to 2 to 3, to now carrying over to a big primetime game with them Georgia Bulldogs, going to Athens, a place that's almost impossible to win, and walk away with a victory, and not to mention owned them, right? I know it was just a 3-point game, but there was not one damn point in this game where I thought Alabama was going to. I felt like they were playing to I feel like Georgia was trying to come back the entire time, didn't you? But one of the wildest games this week, and one of my favorites. You know why I like this game? Because of shit talking. Because I knew whoever was going to win was going to rib the other team for weeks, right? And It was Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin getting the big victory over them LSU Tigers. Had some comments after the game I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah, Lane, you kind of touched on it in your opening about the crowd not storming and what that means for maybe where this program is. But purely from the money side, I'm curious with what $500,000 buys you in the portal these days. Like, is that a conversation you have to have about the money side and how important it is?
Gets you half of one of their DBs. Just even since you want it, since you're asking. But I just think it says a lot of where we're at, you know. We lost down there, and LSU stormed the field last year against Ole Miss. And that doesn't seem like that's supposed to happen. And then here we beat them here, and we don't storm the field. So good spot to be in.
Lane freaking Kiffin. On fire, right? Ole Miss is absolutely on fire. Undefeated. Did not see this. I mean, I thought best case scenario, we're 4-1 at this point. Not so fast, my friend. I think we've been sleeping on them Ole Miss Rebels. To go into this game with a backup quarterback and win, and I don't think he's no longer the backup. I think he's the starting quarterback moving forward, but every week you're seeing new names emerge on this Ole Miss Rebel football team, and that's just what that's just what Lane Kiffin does. Lane Kiffin gets more, and we even had a young receiver here got asked. He was asked to perform, comes up, has a big game, and reporters want to know, what do they think of this new kid?
Coach, a lot of people stepped up for you today. One player that we haven't seen a lot of, Winston Watkins, wide receiver.
Yeah.
Big day for him.
Yeah, Winnie's going to be a great player here. Shoot, I'm not supposed to say that because then everybody will go buy him in the portal. Forgot I'm not supposed to do that anymore. I mean, he's just okay, you know. He really doesn't know his plays and stuff, so, you know, it'll be a couple years before he's good. No. Winnie's awesome. He's a really good player. It's cool because Jordan and then Caden and now him in that same spot. And so, we put him in there, and he gives Caden some rest, and he's made a play every time we've put him in. And so he made some today.
Lane. And that's been the theme this week for him, I think, and last week. It was the constant reminder of how much money LSU has spent mainly on this defense. And, you know, I'm not saying he was setting that up in case this thing didn't go his way, but kind of was, right? And I feel like he's got a point. LSU spent all this money to get this defense right, but they didn't get the offense. And that's the biggest surprise for me is just how bad Nuss is playing right now. And it's not just one guy. This is a football team that cannot run the football either. You know, in fact, the damn dog tweeted out this image. Brian Kelly can't run the damn ball. I mean, he can't. And so I know you want to talk about a short list of somebody getting fired, man. That offensive room, somebody's getting hammered this week, I tell you, because losing to LSU, this was a personal game for both coaches. And you would think LSU should win because even Lane Kiffin comes out and tells you how talented, this is a talented football team. This may be the most talented LSU football team that's been down there since Joey Burrow was present. And this is the production they're getting out of it, right? They're fighting for their life against the Florida Gators. You know, a Florida team that you had five interceptions with, a Clemson team, you know, we hung our hat on saying this was a significant win, and now we're finding out Clemson's not that good. You go on the road and you lose to Ole Miss. I'm just saying. Lane Kiffin trolling you, ain't helping. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'd like to pick on him. But, you know, the big thing is Nussmeier. And if you clearly watch this game, Nuss is not himself, not even close to himself. What he was playing last year is not a day different than what we're seeing this year. And people are asking, is Nuss hurt? Nuss was asked after the game, and he would not answer with any injury talk, which usually means you're injured. But Brian Kelly was asked about Nussmeier as well.
Look, Garrett Nussmeier's got to play better. Every player on offense has got to play better. And then we have to be more consistent on defense. I mean, we there's not one guy that you will point out, Koki, and go, well, that was the reason why we lost. There's many, many players that have to play their best when their best is needed. We weren't very good on third down, right? We've been a really good third down team. We have to be better on third down. And that's not just Garrett. You know, that's we got to get open. Our coaches got to get our guys in a position where they can make some plays. And look, you saw it. We struggled with completing the deep ball, where they did very, very well completing the deep ball. So I don't want to go too long on the answer, but this is not a Garrett Nussmeier problem. This is an entire football team of guys doing their job at a higher level.
He's right. And I think Nuss is the one to get the I mean, you're going to get the most criticism as a quarterback, but when you can't run the football, you're asking too much for your quarterback. We got other games to get to, but talk about train wrecks. Boy, this game was an ugly one. Auburn, Texas A&M. Aggies get the big win, 16-10, and there was some moment. They're going 4-0. Let's not overlook the fact that A&M's 4-0 here, especially moving forward. This is a great spot. There's a lot of people that thought A&M would be 2-2, 3-1, best case scenario. Not so fast, my friend. They're 4-0, and they're sitting there in the captain seat. You know, similar to last year, you know, keep winning games. You're going to be showing up the SEC championship. And, you know, was it a pretty game? Absolutely not. This was probably the sloppiest game of the weekend, but a win's a win. And in fact, Dem Elko was tired of being asked. He was a barrage of questions because, honestly, A&M, if you watch the game, felt like A&M should have won by multiple scores. I was kind of surprised that Auburn even had an opportunity. Hell, in the fourth quarter, they had three drives, a three and out, and a four and out to win this game or at least get back in it. And that's a whole different train wreck, and we'll get to Auburn here in a second. But A&M, Elko was like, hey, man, come on. This guy sounds familiar.
Does anybody want to ask a question about, like, us being 4-0 for the first time since 2016? Or how did the defense bounce back? Or how about you held them to 176 yards on offense and you had five sacks and they were 0-for-12 on third down and 0-for-2 on fourth down and you got the return game going again? Like, I don't mean to sound like someone else, but my gosh, will you guys stop being so dreadful and gloomy?
Well, we're only halfway through this.
Yeah. Next one.
Shot at Coach Kelly, anyone? Oh, man. Where does Auburn go from here? Well, I don't know, man. I don't know. Two close losses. This is why Hugh Freeze is always on the hot seat talk, just because he can't win the big ones. And they need a bye, right? Get rested up. Things get easier. No, they don't. You got Georgia, undefeated Mizzou. I'm telling you right now, Auburn is in, and they're hurting. And if you watch the game, I felt like it's easy to pick on Jackson, but it's hard not to. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's not, maybe not a quarterback swap or change, but I think Deuce is going to be getting some more looks after the bye. But Tennessee, Mississippi State, golly, what a game this was. Mississippi State blew it. I'm not gonna sugarcoat this thing. I'm not gonna say that Tennessee was the better football team. The better football team did not win this game. They shit the bed right there at the end. And to be honest with you, thank gosh, right? You know, because Tennessee escaping with the victory here was the best thing that probably happened to me this weekend. And I will say this, them dogs are back. man, they are back. That running back combo may be the deadliest running back combo I have seen in the Southeastern Conference this year. And there's some good running backs, right? We're going to get to Mizzou here in a little bit. But I'm just saying, to go from two wins last year, no SEC wins, this football team's going to win some SEC games. And especially if you're going over to that damn stadium, you're lucky to come out with a victory, and Tennessee was absolutely lucky. Now they've got a bye week coming up as well. Got a lot of injuries that they got to square away, but now you got an Arkansas team, which is very interesting coming up on October 11th. Now that Bobby P's in the driver's seat, Mississippi State, on the other hand, they got a big game with A&M on the road. This could be the game of the week right here, man. This could absolutely be the game of the week. And if you're sitting there, Aggies, you think, hey, my shit don't stink, we're 4-0, be careful, because this team is going to get some wins. I like Mississippi State close in this matchup. I like them in the Florida game, the Arkansas game. There is some definite wins. Hell, even the Egg Bowl it got more entertaining here. So big game, not so fun game. Kentucky and South Carolina, very sluggish, but defense finally came alive there in Columbia. We had a couple of turnovers, which led to touchdowns. I think the highlight for me was this play right here. I'm going to show you. This is McGowan's. This is when Kentucky first scored. I'm not going to play too much of it here, but interesting touchdown celebration. Golly, did he just beam an old guy? Yes, he did. Here he is. Celebration. Throw football at this guy here in a wheelchair. Medical team and police on scene as a fan was hit when he threw the football. Now, the interesting connection with this is that was Lenore Sellers' grandfather.
Granddad was the one who got hit with the ball, the first touchdown from Kentucky, so I was going to go down there and give it to him.
So after the game, Lenore Sellers gives his grandfather another football, a game ball. Jeez Louise. Oh, my gosh. We hit on this Arkansas game. I don't want to rehash this train wreck, but Arkansas defense is still the worst unit in the Southeastern Conference. Vanderbilt also getting a win here. Ugly at times, a lot of penalties, really drug this thing out. But let's not overlook the fact that Vanderbilt is 5-0. Game day, going to Tuscaloosa. That's crazy, isn't it? But this is a Vanderbilt team that beat Alabama last year. This is a Vanderbilt team that got put up on alert in the offseason when their wide receiver said, hey, we're going to, what did he say, get a sledgehammer and crush them like ants they are. Woo, doggy. Mizzou, another win. Another 5-0 football team just waiting for their opportunity at Alabama. Great, great weekend of college football. Oh, man. And to top it off, we got a pizza review. This one went OG, Red Baron, the classic crust. And I'll tell you, if I were to pile up all the frozen pizzas that I've had in my entire life, and there's a lot of them, Red Baron is probably like the most. Now, one thing I noticed, the toppings aren't as plentiful as they used to be. But the cost was spot on. Cost, I gave 9.9. I got this on a deal, man, over at Food City, KVAD, if you got it. We got this one, I think, $2.50. It's crazy. You get a whole pie for $2.50. But it was on special, so 9.9, probably the best. I should have given it a 10. The toppings, where are you? You know, I'd love to say some pepperonis fell off this thing or didn't make it to the oven, but the toppings, I give a 6.6. They're not as plentiful as they used to be. The crust, OG, this is it. The crust and sauce is what does it for the Red Baron. It's just right. It's not the best crust you've ever had in your life, but it is paired with that sauce fantastic. So I give the flavor an 8.8. Final score coming in, 33.2. This puts you in third place with the pizzas, and I'll get an overall list for the next one. So if you got any pizza suggestions, be sure to send those. But the OG Red Baron coming through. All right, cousins, got about 30 seconds. I appreciate everybody hanging out with me. We're going to have a wild, wild week. We got the smart guy on tonight. Tomorrow, me and Mike are going to start previewing this coming up weekend of slate of college football. And, man, I'm looking forward to it. So, hey, Sam's gone. It's a sad one. That means someone else is put on the hot seat. And it's time, right? I feel like last year with the transition to the expansion, it seems like all this stuff that's going on, we're getting a little more clarity of what the college football playoffs are going to look like. We're getting a little more clarity now that we're going to a 9-game schedule. But I think the time for mediocrity in this league is, like, you can't afford to get left behind. And Arkansas was getting left. They were left behind. And there's a couple other teams that are starting to feel that pressure. So, Billy Napier, watch out. Hugh Freeze, watch out. I'm telling you. Shane Beamer, watch out. I'm just saying, we got to have some wins or you're going to get fired. So be sure to tune in tonight and have those notifications on, because if anything crazy happens, if another coach does get fired, we'll be sure to let you know. But if you need any bail money, give me a call. If not, I'll see y'all Wednesday.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.